glorify you, Jesus. We bless your name, oh God. Praise God. I love the presence of God we feel in the house today. I love the promise of God that we stand in today. I'm so thankful for all the good things that God is doing. I'm so glad that we've seen another one of this clan go down in the water in Jesus' name and receive the Holy Ghost there Wednesday night. Just all kinds of excellent things happening in the kingdom. Now, I sent out a text last night because I wanted to let you know that we've had a cluster of COVID cases in the church. But if you looked at that roster, which I won't give you, but if you looked at it, they don't hang together. It's not a New Life thing. It's a Alabama thing. It's an all-over-the-where thing. It's happening everywhere. So what you want to do is, I gave you the information so you would make all the decisions you want to make regarding yourself and your family. And you can see we have quite a number of folks that elected to stay home and go on online today. But this thing is widespread. It's everywhere. But this time, as opposed to last time, we're not going to close down church. And we're not going to back off. We're just going to go ahead and have church and have revival. And y'all be careful out there. Do what you got to do, and let's remain faithful in prayer and in worship and in the Word of God and in Bible studies. And we were just about back at a full house and full energy and everything. And we're gonna recoup that here in just a second. It won't be but a little bit. School's starting back up, and we're gonna have a wonderful time in the house of the Lord. And today, I'm glad for the presence of God. I feel the goodness of God. Brother Stevens scheduled to preach this morning. Brother Jermaine's on tap for tonight, and we're gonna have a Sunday of revival. And we're just going to put our thumb in the devil's eye and give glory to God. And that's our job. That's about all we can do. Somebody say amen. Are you glad to be a part of what God's doing in the city today? All right, let's praise the Lord as he comes.
Why don't you lift up a hand clap of praise to heaven and clap your hands, all ye people, and shout to God with a voice of triumph. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so in this place today. Praise God. Praise God. Look at somebody next to you and tell them it's good to see you in the house of God. If you're at home, look at somebody next to you and tell them it's good to see you in the house of God. Because if you have the Holy Ghost, if you've been baptized in Jesus' name, if you're in covenant with God, wherever you are is the house of God. Praise God. So I was glad when they said unto me today, let us go into the house of God. This is the place where we gather together. And I believe that where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he will be in the midst. And I already feel his presence here today. Come on, how many are thankful today for the presence of God that you feel in this place? Praise God. Well, it is an interesting time. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 61, by the way. Isaiah chapter 61. It is an interesting time to be in the kingdom of God. Praise God. It's been an interesting week for us. We were at the beach, cut the trip a little bit short to be back here today because there is a hurricane working the Gulf Coast. And we have a lot of churches across the southern states and across the Gulf Coast. You want to be in prayer with all of our church family, our extended church family that is bracing themselves for an impact of a storm. And we also have some church folks from New Life that are down at the beach, and we want to be praying for them as they travel and as they are in that particular little bit precarious situation. But we believe that God will cover them and protect them where they are. And we, as the bishop has already mentioned, we are in a COVID season, and there's an uptick in cases, so we want to be in prayer for our church family as they deal with this. But I just want to tell you that when I got up this morning, I know what the news was saying, and I know what was happening for people. I've gotten text messages all week from people who are sick, but I did not wake up this morning with fear. I don't believe that God has given us the spirit of fear, but I believe that God has given us in every day power, love, and a sound mind. So I woke up today with an expectation in my spirit. God is on the throne. Prophecy is coming to pass. The kingdom of God is expanding in the earth. Look at somebody next to you and tell them the fight is fixed. Come on, no matter what happens, tell them we win. Come on, tell them I'm filled up with the Spirit of God. I'm baptized in, and I'm telling you, if you're not today, before you leave the house of God, you can receive the Spirit of God, the Spirit of adoption. I'm telling you, I don't care what's happening in your world today. God is on the throne. Prophecy's coming to pass. The kingdom of God is expanding in the earth. Praise God. I'm thankful for our sister who received the Holy Ghost on Wednesday night. That is now eight that have connected to that work, and Margaret, that have come into the kingdom of God. I am so excited to see the kingdom expanding in your life, Brother Chris, Sister Brianna, and your family. And I am just excited to be connected to what God is doing in the earth. There's victory and healing and deliverance happening all over the place. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 61. This is a messianic prophecy. This is a passage concerning the man Christ. And I just want to stop and tell you today that this is, if you've been in service for the last couple of weeks, this is where I have been camped out. And just this week while I was out of town praying and thinking about things that God wanted to do, and I just don't feel a release yet to leave this conversation. So we're going to camp out here until God gives the release. Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because for the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. The Spirit of God is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those who mourn. That's what the preacher does. How many of you are thankful for the preacher today? To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. God's giving you, because of preaching, God is giving you an exchange today. God is offering you, if you would, an olive branch. He's giving you beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. How many of you have mourned at some point? If you've had ashes in your life, you've gone down to the graveyard. He said, I've come today to give you an exchange, the garment of praise. If you came in today and you saw people shouting and dancing, he said, I have come. The preacher came to give you an exchange, the garment of praise for, in exchange for the spirit of, if you felt heavy when you got up this morning, I just want to tell you, the preacher came to give you an exchange, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. All of this is for God's glory. And they shall build the old ways, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. The preacher has come to tell you today that God wants to repair all of your generational dysfunction, the alcoholism, the drug abuse, the perversion. The word of God has come to set somebody at liberty today. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. When you get the Holy Ghost, you become a minister. You're going to eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. Anybody looking for a double portion today? Everlasting joy shall be unto them, for I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I've come to tell you today, if you're in covenant with God, it's an everlasting covenant. There's no man, there's no political system that can take you out of covenant with God. and their seed, that's your children, shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I've come to tell you today, I've come to preach the blessing of God. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. I'm telling you, that's the vesture that I'm wearing today. I am covered in the blood of Jesus. And because of that, no storm can pluck me out of his hand. No pestilence can come. He's clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself. That's what we're doing here today. We're preparing ourselves for the marriage supper of the Lamb. For as the earth brings forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Why don't you put your Bible down for just a moment and lift up a hand clap of praise to God. God, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for your presence, your power. God, we pray that you would open up our hearts today, God. That you would break up the fallow ground of every heart, every listener, God. I pray that you would impregnate this people with your promise, with your purpose, God. Let something grow up in us today, God. And we magnify and glorify and praise you for it. And everybody say in the name of Jesus, God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of God. This passage of Scripture is one of the most powerful Old Testament messianic prophecies declaring the man Christ Jesus. Jesus stands as the ideal of God. He stands as the thing that man can be. Now, I want to tell you today, I know you may be broken and you may have some circumstances in your life that are less than ideal, but I'm not coming today necessarily to harp on the things that are broken. I know the world is existentially flawed. It is broken. The man's days are short and full of trouble. But I haven't come today to harp on the trouble. I've come to declare the word of God to you. Jesus is the manifestation of the word of God. He is the manifestation of God's plan, of God's purpose, of God's declaration in the earth. Jesus is everything that man can be. Everything that you can be and everything that I can be was encapsulated in what he was, in his birth, in the virgin birth, in his life, in his development. The Bible said that he grew and that he increased. He increased in body, soul, and spirit. He increased in wisdom and in stature, in favor with God and man. You can increase. You can grow. You can become in the kingdom of God. I'm just telling you, you came into a place today where the preacher and the congregation believes that you can become something in the kingdom of God. His ministry, his death and burial and resurrection and ascension into heaven. Look at somebody next to you and tell him he's the man. No, look at him like you have conviction and tell him Jesus is the man. He is the ideal of God. He's the model person. He was anointed by God to a degree that no other person in human history was anointed. He wasn't just a complete man, body, soul, and spirit. He was that. He wasn't just separate from his identity as God, a man. A complete man, a whole man, 100% man. But the Bible tells us that all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in the man, Christ Jesus. He was anointed by God fully. I just want to tell you that it is the objective of preaching. It is the will of God today for you to embody the Spirit of God. It is the will of God. I know maybe your life doesn't look like it today, or it may not feel like it, but Jesus stands as the model person to tell us today that you can be everything that the Word of God says that you can be. You can walk back into your life as a representative for the kingdom of God and transform you. Brother Chris, I'm just telling you, you can encounter God in a way that you begin to go back into
to your world and you begin to tell people, come and see an experience with God that will, I'm telling you, it'll change your family. It'll change the way you talk. It'll change the way you walk. It'll change the way that you live.
He was anointed by God. But he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now it was prophesied that God's Spirit would rest upon him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because. That word because means as a result of. As a result of his calling, his destiny. The Spirit of God rested upon me. He hath anointed me to preach. But he didn't just anoint him to preach some ambiguous thing. He said, he has anointed me to preach the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news. The gospel is the message that tells you if you're broken, you can be repaired. The gospel is the message that tells you that if you are lost, you can be found. The gospel is the message that tells you if you're hungry, you can be fed. If you're thirsty, you can find water. He said, this is why the Spirit is upon me. Because I've come to tell somebody today that it doesn't, you don't have to remain in the situation that you've been in. I want to tell somebody today that the preacher came today, and the preacher's not Stephen Collins. I'm just a medium through which the preacher is seeking to express himself today. But the preacher is in the house today to tell you, you don't have to leave the way that you came. If you've been struggling with pornography, you don't have to leave hooked on pornography. If you've been struggling with alcohol addiction, you don't have to leave the way that you came. If you've been struggling with depression, you don't have to leave today in darkness. But the preacher came today to preach to somebody and say, God can pick you up out of your mess. God can pick you up out of the miry clay. Is there a witness in the house today of anybody that can say, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Come on, somebody praise him for just a moment.
Praise God.
He had a lot of things that he would fulfill in his life, but he was anointed to preach. He was the motive of God expressed. He was the mind of God revealed. He was the logos of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by the Logos, and without him was not anything made that was made. It was the design of God, the purpose of God. But that Word did not remain in that conceptual form, but the Word was manifest. The Word was declared. The Word was made visible. John 1 and 14 says, and the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes, he would suffer. Yes, he would die. The Bible tells us that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon his shoulders. And by his stripes, you are healed and I am healed. He went through all of the processes of life. But in the middle of all of that, Jesus was a preacher of God. He preached in the temple at 12 years old. He taught in their synagogues. He stood on boats in the marketplace, in the streets, and in the temple, and even on the cross. He was a preacher. The greatest dissertation that the world would ever hear would probably be Jesus' sermon on the mount. But maybe the most visceral moment ever recorded was when the
preacher lifted up himself or lifted himself up on the nails and cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The spirit of the preacher was upon him. The spirit of the man sent to declare God to the world. He didn't stop there, but he directed their attention to the passage in Psalms chapter 23 when it talked about all of the things that would befall him, everything that would come upon him as he took upon himself the sins of the world. He was preaching the gospel to them. He was preaching to them, I'm sacrificing for you so that you don't have to die in your sins and in your trespasses. He was preaching to the Israelites, go and read the psalmist David. The passage begins, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he wasn't just having a pity party. He was directing their attention to the gospel. He was preaching the gospel to them. Praise God. How many of you are thankful today for a preacher? How many of you are thankful today for the spirit of the preacher that we can feel in this place? This passage spoke to his divinity and his role as the high priest and sacrifice. But he ended his sermon with a prayer. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. He was thinking about restoration. He was thinking about reconciliation. He was God manifest in flesh, reconciling the world unto himself. And the Apostle Paul would tell us, as an extension of this desire that God had for reconciliation, he has bequeathed to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are preaching today not because we just want to start a business or collect some money or build an edifice or a congregation, but we are preaching today the gospel of Jesus Christ because God still looks, God is still desiring to be reconciled to humanity and have humanity reconciled to him. I don't care how many mistakes you've made today. I don't care how broken your life is. God is still in the restoring business. God is still in the business of putting broken lives back together again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach. He gave up the ghost. For all of the callings that a person can manifest in their life, Jesus, as the embodiment of the actions and thoughts and emotions of God, had the highest calling on planet Earth. He was a preacher. In this way, he was connected to the essence of God. He was connected to the essence of God's motive. But that wasn't just connected in his dispensation and in his ministry in that locale and in that time. But there is a spirit of the preacher. The spirit of the preacher is bigger than the words that he speaks. The spirit of the preacher is bigger than how he puts his sermon together, which is an extension of his mind and the way that he thinks and his perspective and the way that he sees the world. There is a presence that is the preacher. And that's why when you sit in a service where the word of God is being preached, you can't spend too much time, Brother Sam, in analysis, because it doesn't matter if the preacher says the Amalekites or the Amorites and he gets all the vernacular right. The reality of it is that embedded in the sermon is the spirit of the preacher. Embedded in the conversation is the motive of God that says, I can work with a fallen vessel. I can work with a broken vessel. I can work with a human vessel to transfer my motive to you, that I want to be reconciled to you, that I desire to have a relief. I'm just telling you, the spirit of the preacher is in the house today. If you're watching online, the spirit of the preacher is omniscient and omnipresent. He's a very present help. No matter where you are, no matter what your situation, the spirit of the preacher can come in where you are and begin to move in your life and can begin to transform everything about you. He hath anointed me to preach, to declare. He was connected to that essence. Paul, to the church at Rome, said in Romans 1 and 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it, the gospel, is the power of God. It's not my intellect. It's not my wisdom. It's not my vernacular. But it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I would tell you, as an extension to the Gentile today, the power of what we preach today is connected to the voice of the preacher. And that's why when you go through a Bible study at New Life, we're going to start in Genesis. We're going to take you all the way back to Adam and Eve. We're going to take you all the way back to Cain and Abel. Come on, there are a lot of people today that will tell you, well, the God that I serve won't allow somebody to die and go to hell just because they're not baptized. No, we're going to go back and we're going to touch the foundation. We're going to talk about the fact that the God that we serve demanded of Abraham that there be a covenant. He demanded of Abel that there be a blood sacrifice. He demanded of Moses, who he talked to face to face, that he circumcise his son. We're connected to a God. I'm telling you, the preacher's been preaching for a long time. And that's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel today. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not interested in tickling your ears today. I came to preach the gospel. I'm not interested in making you feel good today. I came to preach the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of Acts 2:38. I'm not ashamed of the oneness of God. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. When you pray for your food, do it in Jesus' name. When you pray for the sick, do it in Jesus' name. And when you go down in the water in baptism, do it in the name. Come on, somebody praise him for the gospel. Somebody praise him for the spirit of the preacher. He said, this is why I came. This is why God went through all the trouble. The virgin birth, the immaculate conception, God manifest in flesh. He said, he anointed me to preach the gospel. That's why I'm here today. It's not another gospel. We're not preaching. There is no other gospel. There's no other great revelation that came 300 years after the book of Acts outpouring. There's no other God. He said, beside me, there is no God. It's not ecumenicalism today. It's not everybody coming together in a common brotherhood. Wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. But the gospel that we preach is an exclusive way. It's a narrow way. And if you want to get into that gospel experience, you've got to come in through the door. Because Jesus said, if you come in through any other way, you're a thief and a robber. But I'm telling you today, I'm thankful that the church is still embodying the spirit of the preacher that said, if you want to come in, there's a way to get in. Everybody's welcome. Black folks and white people and Hispanics, you can come in, but you got to come in through the door. You got to come in through the way. Praise God. the church at Corinth. Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. He said, if you want change today, you can't come in through the world systems. It's not going to be politics that saves you today. It's not going to be your political affiliation that saves you today. It's not going to be your righteous works that save you today, but it's going to be coming in through the church. The church is still God's institution for salvation, and the preacher is still God's office for bringing people into relationship with God. Praise God. John the Baptist was a preacher. Noah, Enoch, even Abel. Abel, whose blood cried out from the grave. The voice of the preacher, the literal voice, is extinguished, but something about the spirit that he embodied, something about the God that he served, something about the covenant that he, not his perfection, not his works, but his connection to God in covenant relationship, something about that, even when Cain extinguished his life, there was still the blood of a man crying out from the grave to God, saying, God, bring judgment. God, bring justice. Abel was a preacher of righteousness. He embodied the voice of the preacher. Praise God. Jesus was anointed for many different things in his life, but primarily his calling was to preach. I just want to tell you here today, if you don't already know this, you need a preacher in your life. If you don't already understand how this works, you can run to and fro in the earth trying to find somebody who will tell you what you want to hear. But all of us need, we need, you need, I need a preacher in my life. I need somebody who can challenge me. I need somebody who can speak plainly to me. Because a preacher will go where your mama cannot go. I know your mama loves you. I know your daddy loves you. But a preacher will go some places that your mama will not go. A preacher will go some places that your daddy cannot come and save you. A preacher will go some places where nobody else in your life can go. And it's not because of a religion. That's what the secularists would say. They would say, well, that's just a man-made religion. No, the preacher is connected to the divinity of God. That's why the gifts of the Spirit flow where truth is preached. Everybody wants to explain away the infilling of the Holy Ghost, but my question is where are the gifts of the Spirit in the church anymore? If your church is a church and you're explaining away the Holy Ghost, this is the reality of it, where the Holy Ghost is being poured out. You're going to find prophecy. You're going to find that. I'm just telling you, you need a preacher in your life that preaches you can still receive the Holy Ghost evidence by speaking in tongues. Because where that truth is being preached, you're going to find the fivefold ministry. You're going to find the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. Need a preacher in your life. The spirit of the preacher. The preacher can go places where nobody else can go, because there are some places in anxiety and depression and fear, solitude and loneliness. You have an allegiance to your natural family. It's natural. But the reality of it is that you will go some places in your life that your mama cannot go with you. You will go some places in your life that your daddy cannot go and your family cannot go. But a preacher can go where nobody else can go. Preaching can find you where nothing else can travel, because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And there are some deep places in your heart, some unforgiveness that you have harbored for a long time, and your mama can't get to it. You're seeking for the answer to that depression in a lot of places, and your mama and your daddy can't get into that deep place. But when anointed preaching begins to go forth, the preaching of the word of God can begin to make its way down through the joints and the marrow. It can get into the deep recesses of your heart. It can find your depression and bind it up. It can find your anxiety and bind it up. I'm talking about an exchange none of your family can make, but the preaching of the word of God can go in and give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I'm telling you, I need an exchange today. You need an exchange today. You need to take off that heart of stone and have the spirit of God put a heart of flesh in you. And begin to mold your emotions. Begin to mold your thoughts. That's why you've got to hear preaching. Because when you hear preaching, you can receive an infused knowledge from the word of God to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. How do I think like him? I need a preacher. How do I feel like God felt? I need a preacher. I need a preacher. Preach to me, preacher. I need a preacher to preach to me today. I need to hear what God has to say to me. Preaching can find you where nothing else can find you. The preacher will sacrifice when everybody else gives up. I'm telling you, your family may have walked away from you. You may have failed so many times. You've robbed, you've stolen, you've deceived. But I'm here to tell you that as long as you're still breathing, if you can get to the church house and you can find the spirit of the preacher is going to keep preaching to you when everybody else has given up on you. The preacher is willing to find you on the side of the road, broken and given up on, and say, oh, there's hope in the end of God. I'll pick you up. I'll begin to bind up your wounds. I'll pour the oil and the water in, and I'll take you to the innkeeper, and I'll pay the price. I'm telling you, preaching will pay a price in your life that nothing else in your life will pay. Yeah, he's anointed me to preach the gospel. I've heard stories of preachers. My dad teaching a Bible study to an elderly man that was all by himself, didn't have any friends or family around. Preachers will go into your house and teach you a Bible study and tell you the truth. Preachers will come and preach to you after everybody's given up. Preacher will lay hands on you when the crowd's not there. We'll pray for you. Preacher will open the door to the church at 12 o'clock at night. A preacher will turn on the baptistry to make sure that the waters are prepared. A preacher will pray, God, have mercy on my city. A preacher will put you down in the water in the only saving name, the name. It's not the man doing the work. It's the spirit of the preacher. I've heard the stories. Standing beside the hospital bed after the prayers were prayed, after the Bible studies were taught, after the family was gone, and holding the puke bucket as the man lived out the last days of his life, as he succumbed to disease and sickness, but as he had that burning orb of the presence of God radiating out of the inside of his life, he had an encounter with a preacher. The preacher will stand beside the casket. Maybe at times when none of the family shows up. My wife has talked about encounters with patients in the last years of their life, broken people who destroyed relationships, and in their final breaths, there was no son, no daughter, no mother, no family member there to mourn the loss. The person died alone with some stranger sitting by the bedside holding their hand. I've heard the stories of the preacher there in the final days, in the final hours, the Spirit. It's not the man doing the work. It's the Spirit of God wanting to have a relationship with a person that says, I'll be there when nobody else is there. I'll do the work when nobody else would do the work. That's the Spirit of the preacher. I need a preacher in my life. Sotokoroshata. Preacher will pray the prayer as the body is laid into the ground, watching the transition from this life into the afterlife. But the preacher, I read about a preacher who goes even further than that. I read about a preacher who, after the visible ministry had expired, after all of the work above ground had been done, after he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, and he said, forgive him, and he said, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost, he descended down into hell. What is that? It's the Spirit of the preacher. He went down into hell. I don't know the mechanics of it because it's below the surface. But he went down into hell and he preached again. All we could see above ground is the sun hiding its face. All we could see above ground is the graves opening up. But down beneath the surface, there was the voice of a preacher preaching one more sermon. He led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men below the surface of the earth. The preacher has the authority of God. The preacher carries the motive of God. And the preacher never stops preaching. Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, being filled with the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, in those days he did eat nothing. A preacher will fast about some things that nobody else knows about because he wants to see a breakthrough. And when the bishop talks about whenever he came into the church, they had had extended times of prayer and fasting. And when they came, I think it was 12 o'clock at night when they came in to get baptized, there were people there praying because the Spirit of the preacher will make intercession for some hippies who don't know their way into the kingdom of God. The preacher will keep on preaching. The preacher will keep on fasting. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. He was hungry. The days of fasting were over, but he still didn't stop fasting. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. The preacher will have encounters in the wilderness when nobody else is around with the spirit world to set everything right. Because at some point, there will be a public demonstration. But before there's ever a public demonstration, somebody's praying, Brother Chris. Somebody's fasting. Somebody's been faithful year in and year out. What is that? That is the spirit of the preacher that says, I'm not getting caught up in what's happening around me, because one day somebody's coming to the house of God. I'm going to confront my devil. I'm going to confront my day. I'm going to confront my adversary, because revival is coming. That's the spirit of the preacher. command this stone that it be made bread. He could have eaten, but he didn't. He could have consumed, but he didn't. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. What is that? That's embedded knowledge down on the inside of the man that said, I'm not taking the bait. He endured the cross, despising the shame for the joy that was set before him. He saw you coming, and he said, I'm not taking the bait. I'm going to preach to my adversary. I'm going to preach to my enemy. Somebody needs to start preaching to the devil that's been lying to you and say, no, it's not going to be the way that you say it is. It is written. That's the voice of the preacher. And the devil takes him up to a high mountain. He shows him all the kingdoms of the world. He says, you can exchange what you have for this. You can exchange the calling. What is the calling? It's to preach. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach. You can have all the glory of the kingdoms of the world. You can have the monetary success. You can have the business success. You can have all the glory of it if you'll just succumb. He's already tried to attack his identity, and now he's coming at his ministry. He said, I can give it to whoever I want. If you will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. You got to get a made up mind that says, I'm going to be a worshiper no matter what happens in my life. I'm going to be a praiser no matter what my circumstance is. He brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. He's tempting him with self-preservation. He's trying to get him to succumb to this knowledge that I can save my life. Jesus had already told him, if you want to save your life, you have to lose your life. And he's already made up his mind, I'm all in on this preaching business. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught and he preached in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was... This is our text, Isaiah 61. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He stood up to preach. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And I could see him looking down the scroll, or if you would, turning the pages. And when he opened the book, he went and found the place where it was written. He had already spent the time in the Word. He had already spent the time nailing down his identity, who he was, what he should be. He grew up around the things of God. And now, when this public moment comes, he is prepared to tell the people who he is. Brother Sam, go ahead and come. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. He goes on to tell him everything that he's supposed to preach, and he closed the book and he gave it to the minister and he sat down. And the irony of it is that Jesus is the consummate minister, but there's somebody holding the book that doesn't know who he is and what his role is. But God, manifest in the flesh, is modeling what we can be. And he sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He begins to tell them in verse 23. He says, you will surely say unto me this proverb.
Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. The spirit of the preacher. No prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Who was that woman? That woman was a lady who made a place in her life for a preacher. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them, nobody in Israel was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Who was Naaman the Syrian? If you go back and read about it in the book of Kings, Naaman the Syrian was a man who was, the Bible says, was great with his master. What does that mean? He was a man under authority. He was a man whose greatness was defined not by who he was over, but his greatness was defined by who he was under. He was great with his master. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And they rose up and they thrust him out of the city. And they led him into the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. What is this? This is the preacher killing spirit. He's preaching to the people. And he's bringing all of these promises. But they don't have a place in their life. Preacher. They go to cast him out of the city. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue, while he's preaching, while he's teaching, there's somebody in the synagogue. There was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. There's a man who's demon possessed in the house of God. Why? Because the spirit of the preacher never showed up at the church house. But finally the preacher came to the house of God, and he stood up to preach. And now the demoniac is crying out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebukes him, says, hold your peace. The fame of him goes out in every place and country round about. Verse 44, the conversation summed up by saying, and he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. In terms of ministry, no two people are better compared than Jesus and Solomon. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon referenced himself when he introduces the book in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Solomon was the preacher in Israel. Solomon loved many strange women. Solomon built images in the groves to the pagan gods of the Midianites, the Moabites, the pagan nations of the world around him. Solomon was the effeminate preacher who at the end of his life, he finally gets it right after spending the majority of his life chasing things that became for him vanity and vexation of spirit. Chasing all kinds of baubles and trinkets and doing exactly, in many cases, what the Word of God created a standard against, acquiring many wives and lots of possessions and all of these things. He is an example of somebody who is tossed to and fro. Every wife that he takes, he builds an idol to her gods in the groves. Let me tell somebody today, you don't want a preacher like that in your life. You don't want a preacher in your life that at the end of his life, he looks back and says, everything that I sought out under the sun, I spent my life seeking and searching, and I never could find the answers. And I realized that everything I sought out was a bag with a hole in it. And all of that was vanity and vexation of spirit. Everything I told you was most important was not. And now my entire ministry is a message of repentance from a lifetime of bad decisions. But Israel was accustomed to that kind of leadership. So what happens in Isaiah 5 when God turns the vineyard over to husbandmen? Jesus said he turned it over to leaders. They didn't do justly. They didn't do the right thing. And that's why when John the Baptist comes on the scene, he's the preacher. He's Isaiah. He's the preacher of God. And Israel hears, the nation hears his message. And they reject the message of John. He wasn't like their prophets. He wasn't scratching their ears. The ones who God sent to them who were preachers of righteousness, they killed and they destroyed and they tortured and they persecuted. And so when Jesus walks onto the scene and he begins to ask the people, what did you come to see? Did you come to see a reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. That is what Solomon represented. He grew up in a king's house. He was finely robed. He was driven by his appetites and not by his convictions. Not just an effeminate preacher, one who one minute feels called, the next is chasing after some trinket. But what did you go out to see? What did you come to see today? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. You could paraphrase there the words of this preacher. Everybody who has ears to hear, let him hear the words of the preacher. But maybe deeper than that, let him feel the burden of the prophecy. How much did those tables of stone weigh? The word prophecy in the Old Testament literally means the burden. So when you encounter a preacher of righteousness, you encounter a person with a burden. Somebody with a conviction. And then Jesus goes on to ask the question, wherein shall I liken this generation? That's in Matthew. We mentioned last time that we were together that he further elaborates in Luke, wherein shall I liken the men of this generation? You're like kids sitting in the markets and calling to their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and you didn't dance. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and you say, he has a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. What does he mean by this passage of Scripture? Like children out in the market, we piped. We played the high song. We played the fast song, Brother Kadarius. God is good. God is faithful. God's going to bless you. You wouldn't even dance. And then we played you a slow song, a song of conviction, a song of brokenness, that you wouldn't even weep. He said, that's what I liken the men of this generation to. Because the spirit of the preacher came and preached a sermon. The fivefold ministry, the prophet came through, the evangelist came through, the pastor came through, the teacher came through, and he taught it in a way that you could understand it. But when he taught it, you didn't respond. And they said, he said, this is what you said. You said, John's got a devil. John was your preacher. John was the one who was bringing the word of God to you. John was the one embodying the spirit of the preacher. And you marginalized the message by saying, he's demon possessed. A man with a burden, a man with a passion, a man with a conviction, a man with a calling to preach, a man who paid the price. But when the message came, all you could hear was what your flesh wanted to hear. And you said, oh, he's got a devil. He said, so I came to you preaching. I came to you eating and drinking and preaching a positive message of the coming of the kingdom. And you called him a winebibber and a glutton. What about your preacher? What about your preacher? What about the spirit of the preacher that's in the house of God today? What about the men of this generation? Let me tell you something. Out there on social media is a preacher-killing spirit. Out there in the big bad world that we're living in is a preacher-killing spirit. But it's an authority-killing spirit, Brother Kadarius. Everything that it can do to undermine the father, to undermine the leader, to undermine mom in the home, to undermine the spirit of the preacher. He said, that's what I would liken the spirit of the generation to, is an emasculated, yes, an emasculated, spiritually effeminate man. No will. No will. Today I feel so blessed to have been raised in a church with a preacher. I feel so blessed to have been raised in a church with a man of God. With a man. Of God, somebody who preaches the truth. And I'm thankful today to be in a church with brothers and sisters who love and venerate and edify the office of the preacher. I'm thankful today to be in a church. Listen, I'm just telling you, the further that we go in this day, the more that the world that we're living in is going to be knocking the feet or attempting to knock the feet out from underneath every voice of authority and every voice of godliness and every voice of righteousness. And God is looking for a generation of spiritually motivated people who will say, I don't care what the world says about me. I'm not looking to fit into anybody's club today. I want to be connected to the people of God. I want to have the spirit of the preacher come on me that says, come hell or high water, we're going to have victory. We're going to have deliverance. We're going to have power. We're going to have authority. We're going to have revival. Is there a preacher in the house of God? Time that we were together, we talked about Elijah and Elisha. The next generation that faces the existential conflict, facing the same spirit of Jezebel, they said, go and find the one. Go find the young man that washed the hands of the prophet. Go find the man that had a relationship with his preacher, that had a relationship with the man of God in his life. In Exodus chapter 17, when the time comes for the children of Israel to fight the Amalekites, God gives Moses instruction and he tells him what to do. And he gives instruction to Joshua. And Joshua goes down into the valley and begins to fight the Amalekites. And Moses is up on the mountain holding up the rod of God. And as long as the rod was held up, there was victory down in the camp. As long as there was a man of God holding up the authority of God, there was victory and deliverance. But there were men who came to him who put a rock underneath the man of God and said, sit here. And they got on his left hand, Hur and Aaron. They got on his left hand and on his right hand. And they held up the hands of the preacher in their life. And they said, as long as I've got power in my body, I'm going to hold up your message. And I'm going to hold up your gospel. And I'm going to hold up your authority. And God looks down on the battle and he tells Moses, he says, Moses, memorialize this moment. Take a picture. Because Joshua needs to know that there's always going to be an Amalekite. There's always going to be a resistance to the things of God. There's always going to be some force that comes in to challenge the authority of God. Take a picture of this moment. He said, because from generation to generation, there's going to be the voice of the Amalekite, the voice of the descendants of Esau, the voice of the descendants of Ham, the Canaanites and the Moabites,
And all of the resistant forces, the Sodomites, everything that wants to come against and undermine and usurp the authority of God, it's always going to be present in the earth. And that voice, what resists the pulpit and what resists the authority of God, will produce in children, in later generations, a resistant force against the kingdom of God. If you've got a preaching, killing spirit in your life, you need to find an altar today and say, from this day forward, I'm going to memorialize the authority and the presence and the power of the preacher in my life. Hold it up. Praise God. I feel strongly that this is the kind of sermon where we could camp out for weeks. And I'm not telling anybody else what to preach, and I'm not telling you where or when I'm going to preach or anything like that. I'm just telling you what's in my spirit right now is God wants this idea to be infused in this generation. God wants the spirit of supporting the authority of God and the man of God in the office of the pulpit. Not the imperfections, not the flaws, not the humanity. Not the weakness in the man when he's trying to hold up the rod and he's trying and his back's getting weary and he's trying to do the work, but he's human and he's flesh. Not that part of it, but the part of it where the people of God say, that's my man of God. That's my authority. I'm going to do everything in my power to hold up the message that he's preaching. Praise God. Come on, this altar is open. If you want to come down and pray, come down with your family. If you're a guest in the house, why don't you come down and pray with us today? Come on, the presence of God is here. The Holy Ghost is here. The Spirit of God is here to do business with us today. If you need a fresh start, why don't you come down and pray today? If you need the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues, why don't you come down and pray with us today? If you need God to do something in your life, a miracle, deliverance, a breakthrough, why don't you come and pray? Come on, all over the house. If you're at home today, why don't you find a place to pray with your family in the name of Jesus? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's it, everybody. Find somebody to pray with for just a few moments. If it's appropriate, if you feel comfortable, link up with somebody and pray an anointed prayer in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, anoint your people today, Lord, with a fresh anointing, God. Let the Spirit of God flow in this place, God.
So I'm gonna walk. So I will walk.
Have to go, you can be dismissed, but remember, we're going to have a revival service tonight at prayer at 6 o'clock, an anointed service at 6:30. Brother Jermaine's going to be preaching. Go and find somebody, bring them to the house of God. I believe God will fill them up with the Holy Ghost. Love somebody new, share your strength with them. God bless you in Jesus' name.